to James. James chapter 5. And if things go as planned, this is going to be my very last sermon on the last days. You thought this was going to be my last sermon ever? I have to die first. Hopefully. All right. Today we're going to look at the last days according to James, Peter, and Jude. James chapter 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rains. Now, these verses really condemn men of great wealth who are ungodly, who oppress the poor. And you have to understand something. In most societies, there's no such thing as a middle class. In most societies throughout human history, you have people who are filthy rich, who are the elites, who call all the shots, and then you got poor people. And the poor are often oppressed. I mean, really, America, the economic system of capitalism had at one time created a middle class where people could rise up from poverty. And there may be a chance of that still, but it's getting slimmer. Due to the reasons outlined in our text here, in the last days, there's going to be a lot of oppression and tyranny by those who have the money, by the wealthy, by the rich. And I'm not trying to get you to hate rich people. You know, money itself, the Bible says it's God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. It's not the money itself, it's how men use it. And oftentimes, especially with those in power, they do it to stay in power. The wealthy, the rich, the politicians. I mean, I have never understood how somebody could come into a political office with basically no net worth and after 20 years be multimillionaires. There's something ain't right about that. And I think that is condemned in our text. This passage reveals something about human nature. And people who gain wealth and who have no moral compass. Sadly, it used to be, there used to be, at least in America, there was a little bit of a yin and a yang, a contrast between business and the government. That's pretty much been erased now. The government and big corporations have fused together and basically are setting everything. And I think it's part of what's coming in preparation for the Antichrist. The talk about the Great Reset. Read on the World Economic Forum, their own website. The elites are working toward this end. And it will be oppressive. This has always been true of human nature. And it's going to get worse as the last days. He gives us a graphic picture of the conflict between the rich and the poor, the wealthy and the oppressed. And this conflict has always raged among the masses, but it intensifies in the last days. The fact is, most of the wealth of the world is held by relatively few people. George Soros has a lot of power, a lot of money, influences a lot of things. And he's an atheist, hates God. But money talks. And he's able to buy influence. And it hurts. It hurts. It hurts countries all over the world, not just America. It hurts. This is the wealthy oppressing the poor. You see it, I mean, right now, we're going to have, I think they said, over 2 million illegal aliens. That a new record is going to be set this year, just in this year. And you know what? A lot of those people are going to be so oppressed. They're going to be in different ways. Some of them are going to be controlled by drug cartels. Others are going to be trafficked in sex trafficking. Oppression, ungodliness by the wealthy against the poor and the vulnerable. And it's going to increase as time goes on. You say, well, that sounds awful. It is awful, but it's reality. This is what James says. This is what's going to happen in the last days. This conflict between the wealthy and the poor. Now, you may think you're poor because you don't have everything that the Kardashians have or LeBron James or something. I'm going to tell you something. Comparatively, everybody in here is wealthy. If you're saved by the grace of God, if you have a place to live, clothes on your back, food in your belly, friends, family, most of all, salvation in the Lord, we are blessed beyond measure. If I don't get another thing in all of life, I'm not worthy. I've been blessed beyond measure. I am wealthy. I've been given all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So you're not poor. Now the advertising world wants you to constantly be thinking, I've got to have more, I've got to have this. It aims to take away your contentment and to get your eyes off of what's most important. But comparatively, go to the Philippines sometime. Go to places in Mexico. Go to the Middle East in where you're not an Islamist. Go to Africa. And by comparison, you and I are pretty wealthy. Point being, let's not oppress people. Let's try to lift them up through the preaching of the gospel, through teaching them, helping them, encouraging them. That's what has to happen. But this chapter condemns and actually warns that there's coming a day of adjustment. We've got one picture of it in Luke chapter 16. The contrast between the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, he had everything. He oppressed other people. Lazarus was glad to just get the crumbs that fell from his table. He lived in poverty and in rags, but he went to heaven. But the rich man, the Bible says he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And you read the Gospels, again, it doesn't demonize the wealthy or the rich, but he warns over and over, be not heady, be not high-minded, don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't be like the man who had so much coming in. He said, I'll build bigger barns. I'll have a big storehouse. And God required his soul. See, don't trust in your riches. They can be gone tomorrow. And they probably will. I really believe that if this great reset is coming on, the wealthy are going to have all the power, and they're going to give you just little smidgens of things to keep you going to a degree. I'm going to keep serving the Lord, no matter what happens. And I may lose my life, because the wealthy, the rich, the atheists, the evolutionists, oh, they hate fat little Baptist preachers like me. They don't want somebody saying, calling that out. That's wrong. That's oppressive. That's wicked. That's ungodly. It's immoral. They don't want to hear that. And sadly, those who with wealth in our world, not all, I'm sure that there are wealthy people who are very generous. In fact, many of you probably in small ways are very generous to people who have less. You know, riches can be defined in a lot of ways. If you love green beans, you'd think I was really wealthy. I mean, because I'm loaded with them. A lot of it's relative. But what's sad is those with the power, those with the money, are becoming increasingly more cruel in their oppression. Fraud, deceit, dishonesty are common practices among the wealthy in order to accumulate more and to accumulate more power. Power corrupts. And the more you get of it, usually it corrupts absolutely. This is a picture that we see in the last days. And the encouragement is, in verse 7, as you see this, and you can see it, you'd have to be blind not to see it, that this oppression is a real thing among the wealthy and the poor. But he says to believers, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming. A great day of adjustment is going to take place. And all of the dishonesty, the deceit, the lying, the oppression, the tyranny, it will be judged. Not by me, but by God Almighty. There is coming a great day of adjustment. And we've got to be patient. This is all the Bible tells us to do. Be patient for the coming of the Lord. Look for the Lord. Wait on Him. And you'll notice there in verse 6, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. He doesn't have the ability to resist the powerful, the wealth, the wealthy, and these overcome by it. Now, let's go on to 2 Peter 3. Know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And then if you'll look over, very similar is Jude, verses 18 and 19. We'll kind of put these together. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. The last days, according to these two passages of Scripture, are going to be filled with mockers and scoffers who don't take the warnings and the threatenings of the Word of God seriously. You look at our world right now. Somebody actually believes Genesis chapter 1. And may I state without any apology or any disclaimer, I believe in the literal account of Genesis chapter 1. I do believe that God created this entire universe and everything in it. He did it in 6 literal days. He rested on the 7th. I don't believe like old Milt Hankins, that reprobate preacher who used to write in the Herald Dispatch, that that's all an allegory. All of that about Adam and Eve, that's all just an allegory. All the creation account. It's not. That's mockery. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. You can't find a whole lot of people that admit to that. You know why? Because they'll be mocked. I've never heard a politician in my lifetime that I can recall ever say that he denounces evolution, that it is faulty science, that God is indeed the Creator. I've never heard a politician say that in my lifetime, because they know what the repercussions will be after 100 years of evolutionary teaching in our schools and in our culture. I saw a clip the other day of an old political hack. James Carville was talking, and he was just railing on anybody that believed in the literal creation account, that they were just complete idiots, that they were imbeciles. And they actually said, these people, he got a real strong southern accent, these people, they don't even believe in it. Evolution. You got it right, James. I don't believe in evolution. He was mocking. He was scoffing. And you know what? Our world today is in full agreement with him. Full agreement. I would dare say that there may be only 10% of people that really believe the creation account in Genesis chapter 1. Didn't that say it? But this is what happens when those who mock, those who scoff at the Word of God, when they gain power in every slice of society, they mock the things of God, and they can get away with it. This is what's going to happen in the last days. There's been a remarkable increase in people who scoff at the promises and the prophecies contained in the Bible. Much of our society is bent on ridiculing those who take the Bible literally and seek to apply its principles in their daily lives. Look what's on television. I mean, do you ever see Christians actually portrayed in a good light? They're always portrayed as knuckleheads, as extremists, that are crazy. That's all intent. It's mockery. They're mocking a way of life that has literally changed the world for good. And what do we got for all the mockery? We've got immorality. We got perversion. We have ungodliness. And we have a rejection wholesale of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, let me ask you, you're out and about. When was the last time anybody ever spoke to you positively about God, about the Word of God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, someone that you didn't know? When was the last time somebody witnessed to you? When was the last time you witnessed to somebody? Why don't people witness more? They're afraid to be mocked. They're afraid somebody will say mean things about them. We have the elite, again, who mock the truths of creationism, especially the educational elite. I'm just telling you the truth. Name one state college that doesn't demean Christianity. One state college that says, we're not going to teach evolution. Just one. You can't. Because the theory has infected every bit of education. Higher critics mock the faith of those who declare that the Bible is authoritative, infallible, the divinely inspired Word of God, and that we ought to live by it and its precepts and its principles rather than the educational elite or by those in power. I mean, they've made a whole religion out of it, of secular humanism. They got all kinds of doctrines. Many of them are silly. I mean, what's the latest one? That a man can have a baby. Or a man can get pregnant. Come on. It's just silly. And yet, it's being readily promoted and accepted in our society. And if you say, oh, that's silly, men can't get pregnant, okay, you're mocked. I read an article where an 80-year-old woman was taking a shower in the local YMCA, and she saw a man in there wearing a woman's bathing suit watching little girls get undressed. She called attention to it and said, first she confronted the man, and then the people who were, this was in the state of Washington, the people in the state of Washington, whoever was running the YMCA came in and said that the lady was banned for life from the YMCA for calling attention to the fact that there was a man in the women's restroom, in the shower room, watching little girls. Mockery. They're making the truth of the Word of God. They want to mock those who oppose that. Many regard the prophecies and the judgments of the Bible as idle threats. Secular humanists mock and scoff at those who are committed to the Word. And they're walking after their own lusts. They're choosing to live in sin rather than submitting to the claims of Christianity. And all I can say is, I'm praying for them. I'm praying that God will intervene and save their soul, change their heart, give them a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and forgive their sins. I pray that for the worst that I could possibly conceive of. Because I wouldn't wish hell on anybody in my spirit. Now, I got to be honest, there's sometimes my flesh rears up. But they have not the spirit, like Jude said. So they walk in the light of their own carnal reasonings and ridicule those who stand for God's precious truth. It's why churches that preach anything, they're declining in membership, in numbers of people that attend. Because most people are gravitating toward pop psychology in the pulpit. Self-esteem, make you feel better. Very little gospel preaching. Confronting people where they're at, about their sin, about the judgment of God, and about the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you read the book of Acts, you read the New Testament, that was the message all the way through. How has this attitude permeated everything? There has just been a growing acceptance of mockery and scoffing. And it's sad. But I believe God's in control of it all. Now, I've tried to cover a majority of the references. Really, I think I started this in the spring this year, that deal directly with the last days. Some of these topics that are revealed in the Bible are very sensitive and alarming. They're not being taught, they're not being preached, they're not being exposed. But you have social, political, educational, and religious conditions disintegrating. Immorality is on the rise. Righteousness and a desire just to do right has seen a steady decline. We're living in a day and age where we actually have politicians who are in some way, shape, or form actually not saying a word about all the stealing and the looting that goes on in a lot of major cities. They've actually passed laws that if you don't steal, you can steal up to $1,000. Go ahead, steal $1,000. You try that in Chesapeake or South Point, you're probably going to get shot. But in a lot of large cities, it's an everyday occurrence. Small business owners are having to shut down. Do you realize that they're mocking the commandment that says, thou shalt not steal? And so you have a rise in that kind of behavior. Moral conditions are growing worse and worse. And my thing through this whole series, because conditions are so corrupt, are true Christians just to give up and go with the flow? Do we just assume that our world is so far gone that we can no longer make a difference? I say no. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I'm here to tell you there's a lot of broken, miserable people that are overwhelmed in our society who don't know where to turn. They don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know anything about the gospel. And you may be the only one in their sphere of influence that can have an influence for good. You may be the only Bible that they read every day. You ought to be burdened about that. You ought to be concerned for people that are caught up in all of these things. Like never before, there should be an attitude of urgency in our service to the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. His coming is imminent. And we ought to do everything within our power to spread the message of the gospel and lift up a standard of righteousness and light as we anticipate the coming of the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 19:13, occupy till I come. May God grant us the grace and boldness to defend the precious truths of the Word of God and spread them tirelessly until Jesus comes, no matter how much mockery or scoffing it may cost us. Because now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. We'll soon stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the deeds done in our bodies, our service rendered. And I pray that we'll faithfully be carrying out the admonition in Philippians 2, verse 14 through 16. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. The answer is not a new political system or a new leader. It's holding forth the word of life. May God give us grace to see where our hope and our direction really lies. It's in the Lord and in His Word. May we be fervent in trying to reach others with it. Let's all stand.